All right, we are like just introing part two of this interview from Amy and Megan of Sotopia.
It's like a bonus episode because we're on the off week.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a really long interview. I think like an hour and 40 minutes maybe. So we chatted, we got down and partied and hung out, and we didn't want to cut it. And we wanted you guys to be in on all of the things.
Sit with us the whole time.
So you guys get a part two, and we hope you guys enjoy it. If you are just tuning in, this is not like a sequel interview. You will be missing out on part of the conversation if you started this episode. So if you missed part one, go back to part one and start there and then continue here, and we'll see you in a minute.
So yeah, that's the evolution of Sotopia. How has it changed from when I started in 2014 to now?
She's gotten beefy.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Beefy. Yeah. It's so cool.
So
that's awesome.
She keeps growing. I mean, and it was a good time to open it. I would say the fabric industry really saw kind of a rise with the pandemic. It was crazy because a lot of industries really suffered, and they had to kind of like restaurants who can't serve people anymore. Okay, how are we going to do this? Okay, we're going to do takeout. We're going to do pickup meals, you know? And so a lot of people really had to transition. And for fabric, it was kind of like, you didn't have to do much, and online sales just grew because people are like, we need to make fabric masks and blah, blah, blah. It was a good time.
We need to stay home and sew.
The thing we were already doing at home alone, we have more time to do.
Exactly.
I love that. So Sotopia is super cool, like kind of urban, like indie vibes. Does that fit your personal style as a sewer, quilty person?
I think we've kind of... It's as Sotopia has gotten older and we've gotten older, things have transitioned. It's like our events. Like in the beginning, I would say everyone was really a little bit more like, we were younger in our 30s. Everyone's like, I need to do all the things. I need to do all the things. I need to talk to these people. And now our events are really chill because it's like we're post-pandemic. No one has worn an underwire bra or like hard pants.
I still wear underwire bras.
I know. You're a weirdo. But it's like...
I know.
It's like,
and I still wear pants, bro.
I know, but...
She doesn't have pants on right now, though.
I know.
No. Totally.
I'm winning the pooing it right now.
But it's just like there's this kind of casualness that's kind of grown into women in their late 30s and 40s, too.
The store represents our vibe. Like, you walk in there and it's chill. Yeah. Right?
Our events have gotten more chill.
We're chill. Like, we're not, like, high-strung. Like, we need to do all the things. If we don't do all the things, we'll fail. We're more like... Okay, so we didn't do that thing.
I'm more type A than she is. Like, Amy surrounds herself with more type A people who are like, well, no, I'm going to worry about the details a little bit more, but...
Yeah, and I worry about high-level stuff, like...
Yeah, I'm low-level.
Like...
I'm low-level.
I worry about, like... That wasn't a dig towards me or anything. Rude. But, like...
A little pee on.
I worry about, like, okay, flights, hotel...
Yeah.
Like, the main stuff. Well, and then like worries about, like,
it's
okay,
like the financial side of it. She's more of the business side. I'm more of the creative side. That's just kind of where we fall into line. Mm-hmm. But I would say, as our partnership has grown, I think there's definitely where we need to at least be more aware of each other's side. Because, as Amy says, if I die, you know, then...
I always say, if I get a hit... This is how, like, for folks that are listening to... One of the goals last year was to make Megan partner. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're working her into being partner with Sotopia because it's been a one woman show for a very long time, but with really great support. And Megan's been with me like 7 years. So I was like,
no.
What do you mean? Atlanta, 7 years.
2015. It's 2024.
Eight. Oh, shit. Because I had a kid in 2015. Nine this year.
I wrote on the Christmas card.
But she just met you last year because she didn't remember
I wrote on the Christmas card that you've been with us for 7 years.
I mean, it's on brand, Amy.
It's on brand.
Anyways, so yes.
Seven-ish, give or take.
That was one of those low-level details that you probably should have double-checked.
Did you see our Christmas card?
Yes.
Like... You know, I mean, we're not taking ourselves too seriously.
No, our Christmas card was like, it encompassed, like, it was an attendee taking this picture of us.
I'll send it to you guys
so you can put it on the podcast.
Okay.
But I was like, oh my gosh, what if, and this is funny because it was like probably mid-November. I think I put it on Threads. I was like, what do you guys think about putting out a Christmas card? And people were like, yeah, we would love to see a Christmas card from you. And I was like, great. And then I was like, hey, Megan, I think we want to do a Christmas card and I want this picture to be our picture. And so she designs the Christmas card. I put out on the thing in a newsletter and on Insta. I'm like, hey, and I'm thinking 100 people.
Yeah.
Tops. Well, like 75.
And I'm like, you people. Really want to address a bunch of Christmas
75
cards?
75 people would probably want a Christmas card from us. What's we had. Day? Over
200, right?
We had close to 400 people want a Christmas card from us. Once I saw that number,
then
I was like...
Then they get our mugs on there.
I know. Yeah. Once I saw that number, I was like, I have to write a note. Because I was just like, going to drop in a card and be like, here you go.
Yep.
Here's our picture. Merry Christmas.
This but is then that high-level like, thinking without the actual practical this application.
It's like, oh. And then I have to like, okay. Just gonna write a nice note. Thank you for supporting us and wanting a Christmas card from us. So I was like, and now that's gonna be
with a
yearly
very
thing.
Accurate statement of each employee and how long they've been there.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It was more like a family Christmas card. So Mary joined the crew this year, and we can't wait to see what comes out. Like she's so excited. Hillary's excited with every new fabric line that comes in.
She's
Hillary's like super excited. She just wants to do all the things, you know, and
yeah.
Well, so it's kind of funny.
Yeah, all the kids.
Yeah, all the kids.
We do have a mom and dad type dynamic.
Yes, she's mom, I'm dad.
Yeah.
We're tracking that.
Yeah.
She's like, the kids will be like, so if I get hit by a bus, they know. Even Mary, who's like less than 2 months old at the shop, she's like, if you get hit by a car or a bus, I think we're calling Megan. And I was like, yes, exactly.
Don't call Brad.
No, don't call my husband. Call Megan. Like, and then my husband was like, call Megan. So anyways, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I think we're easy breezy.
Yeah. I mean, sure, we get passionate sometimes about things. But.
So you've been working for so long. What are some challenges that you faced in being a business owner?
Oh, this is a good question. I was thinking about
that. We were talking about challenges
on the way here.
And I was like, I don't think we've actually... There's little challenges. I don't think that we've had huge ones. Okay. I think, you know, we talked about the pandemic a little bit and how that was a little bit of a shift. But
let me tell you, finding a software
that's the issue
that can do... fabric and a POS system, meaning point of sales, it's also a piece
of
shit.
It's actually what it is too.
So that was a challenge.
That's still
a challenge because I have to say, I don't have two inventory systems. There are some people that have two inventories and great for them, lucky. But like if Ashlyn wants something, she can go online, see if I have it. She can order it. And then it gets taken out of the system. Mm-hmm. But balancing that, and what if a customer, what if...
If I'm standing in the store and ordering online at the same time.
I know, if a customer comes in and says,
buys
oh,
exact same thing. Say,
same thing. Like, we have to, one, stay on top of our orders, meaning processing time has to be quick so that somebody doesn't buy stuff out.
Buy double, yeah.
Yeah, and that's always
along
been.
With taking your inventory out for 3 weeks for your event. And then also having
three times a
system
year.
Where
three
you're like, year. It says, wait, why do you want 0.5 of an item? Obviously, you mean one.
Yes.
Or you want 0.25 of an item. That's crazy. Obviously, you mean zero.
It's been like, that's always a challenge.
Technology.
Yeah, that's technology. Yeah. And like, are you staying like, because I think we try to, try our best. I think another challenge that I thought about was balancing the brick and mortar. And Megan's like, that's not a challenge. Balancing being a brick and mortar.
Says the person that just isn't there.
I know.
I come
balancing the brick and mortar and our events. Like taking the shop out for 3 weeks. Our customers, like, bless, there was one customer, she's like, I know you're going to be gone for 3 weeks. I'm panic buying right now. You know what I mean? And I'm like, we'll be back.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, or people were like, well, I didn't know you were gone for 3 weeks. I didn't know you were going to do an event. I think that, like, the disappointment for a customer knowing like, hey, they come to the shop, they drove out there.
Well, it's because you essentially, the brick and mortar customers are going to be, not, this isn't a blanket statement, but it's just you're going to have some customers who maybe aren't as digital, right?
Right.
And so they're just going to be like, oh, yeah. Well, it said you were open.
We newsletter, mm-hmm. Google, Instagram.
Posts on all the things, uh-huh. But there's still and people.
Phone message.
Climb in their car and just go.
They'll go, and then we'll be closed. And then they'll notate that one will be open. And then they come back and they're like, well, I came when you were closed. And I'm like, I'm so sorry.
That the number of times I've come on a Monday, though, that's on me.
I know. And that's me. What's funny is we are there. We're there like processing orders. We're just processing orders from the weekend. And yeah. I was like, but man, if I got to the point where I can take Sunday, Mondays off,
yeah,
be like, chef's kiss.
You kiss. Sundays most of the time.
Yeah, I guess Sundays.
I think so. We talk about our like where we live, and like Utah has so many fabric shops, mm-hmm. and people are really jealous when I say that we live by Sewtopia. Mm-hmm. I don't know if everybody listening realizes like the fabric that Sewtopia carries it's not unusual. It's just so unlike basically every other brick and mortar mm-hmm. fabric shop
yeah.
in our area. Mm-hmm. Probably everywhere else.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you guys have a unique selection, and it's always like the newest and freshest, and just like it's so well curated because it's all modern. You don't have to like weed through like a bunch of floral and Civil War reproductions to mm-hmm. get to the Ruby Star. It's like mm-hmm. that's what Sewtopia is, mm-hmm. and I don't know. I just don't think people recognize like how different you guys are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the, like, I don't want to say like the traditional shops or the traditional shoppers, since it's a very rectangular shop, they'll make a circle around the store and they'll just kindly walk out. You know what I mean? But then when you have a modern shopper, like a modern quilter, they'll walk in. And they'll make laps upon yes. laps. Yeah. And yep. then they'll see new things that they didn't see on lap one mm-hmm. and their lap two. And then they're like, wait, you carry this. Mm-hmm. I had a guy from Ogden come down and he bought almost all of our linens. Like he was just like, there's not a shop here that carries linens like your selection. And it's yeah. just one wall. Like yeah. it's just like. Nine little slots of like linens.
We stock what we would also want to sew with. Mm-hmm. There's still some things that like obviously that maybe we wouldn't necessarily like, but we know, okay, let's bring this in because we know it'll sell.
Or it's weird.
But again, that's something we'll be like, no, I would want to sew that. We love chicken fabric.
She loves chicken okay, fabric.
No, she Black loves chicken fabric.
With the yeah. hot pink chicken.
Yeah.
Yes.
It might be her birthday. No, present. But
like you love that fabric. Like we have weird things that we
I
like.
Love that fabric because the funny thought part of the chickens is like what can we put it in? Mm-hmm. The challenge is like what can you put the chickens in? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that and then Megan's like stop it with the chickens.
Well, cuz it's funny cuz she'll just grab a bolt of chicken fabric that does not match what we're doing at all.
I'll come
and
by
she'll
your
be
chicken
like
fabric.
And she'll just
come
put chickens.
See my chickens before yeah. you leave.
Okay.
Like, I got them out there.
So and then she'll just plunk the chicken and we're like, "No, we can't put chickens
yes, you
in
can.
This modern geometric like
yes,
bag."
Yeah.
So it's yeah, so
there's
I
a time and place for chickens.
We
Stop
are
trying
very
to make chick happen.
I know we are very curated. Mm-hmm.
Just because a line comes out, we're not going to buy the whole line. Yeah. We're going to buy...
Except if it's Ruby. We decided that, like, after a while, like... And you guys probably... I try to go to the stores that are around us, or the quilt stores, to at least see what they have. Because then if I don't have it, I can be like, hey, go there. Mm-hmm. I'm always, like, pro, go... Because I say this, but people, like... take offense to it maybe, or they're like taken aback, but I go, quilters are polyamorous. Mm-hmm. We go to every freaking store. We give stores love.
So you're like, calling them fabric hoes.
Yes. I'm calling them fabric hoes. Yeah. They're polyamorous. They like you'll if you
fabric
can't get
swingers.
It yeah if you can't get it at my store, please mm-hmm. go to another store. Mm-hmm. Like I think cool stores are a dying species. And like, if we support everywhere. And I've never seen a quilter where they're like, well, I only shop at this store. And if they don't have it, I'm not buying
it. Well, and I think how limiting that is for you then.
Yes. You know what I mean? Like when we go, when Sotopia goes on an event, we visit stores we visit the stores that are in and around that area. Like, so I'm always like, but I've realized that not a lot of local stores carry all of the Ruby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Wyndham. You're like one of two stores that carry any of the like Ruby and Bee solids.
And Wyndham we have a relationship linen. With too, because they're actually our fabric sponsor for the challenge.
Yeah.
So we do carry Ruby and Bee and a few other
And we
things.
Carry all of the solids, you know, like, so it's just... We carry some, once you go in there, it is different from the other shops.
Like literally every Kona color is at Sotopia.
I guess, and that is like not everybody. In Rainbow. When I was in Portland, there was a Modern Shop there. So it's kind of like, and more than one. So it's like, I guess we were really spoiled because it's like you can go there and just go all the way through the store and find so much stuff versus when you go to more of a traditional quilt shop, you're going to that one little modern section and finding like one random thing. But yeah, so the whole store is geared that way. And we purposely are like, we know people in the Valley will be carrying this, so we won't carry it because why add to it?
Right. Like, and, you know, I love Riley Blake, but a lot of our shops around here carry Riley Blake. And I'm like, go over there. They'll support those shops. Like, you know what I mean? I did bring in Riley Blake, but it was weird.
Yeah,
it was the Legends. Yeah,
tell us which the one Legends. Riley Blake you brought in.
The Legends with the Bigfoot and the
like panel.
Yeah. And it was like it has store, aliens, weird. Bigfoot. Yeah, it's all of like
anything with legendary creature, geeky stuff. We like geeky stuff as well. I mean, our husbands I think are kind of geeky too, so you know we like that stuff. So. Weird stuff.
Yeah,
so you kind of touched on it a little bit, like 10 minutes ago, but what are like the overall values that Sotopia like chooses to uphold? And like, what, I mean, you said what you align with, I guess, but just like, how do you, trying to think of the right word without making it.
I'm trying to think like,
how do you like involve the community in those beliefs?
Well, I call it the annual purge almost, where we post our values. And I'm trying to find on Instagram, and we do it through our newsletter as well.
It's the annual ruffling of the feathers.
Yes.
And it's kind of like we've always kind of, like with the movements that have happened, obviously the country has been very kind of polarized. Mm-hmm. But with the Black Lives Matter movement that came out.
Yeah, like, and then the Stop Asian Hate, because...
Look like you're Asian.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd I mean, it's cool. It's we're pro people, you know, it's like we are
pro people.
We're pro people of all people, all ethnicities, all genders, non-genders, whatever. It doesn't matter. We're pro people and we don't need to. And we'll say that. And we will lift up and support other businesses that kind of agree with that. And so when some businesses remained quiet, when some of these movements were happening and they were like, we're just going to stick to our pretty quilts. And it's like, cool. We don't need to work with you because we would like people who kind of stand with our ideals.
Yeah.
And if we lose followers or people are like, I'm never going to shop with you again. It's like, okay, that's your choice. Bye.
Exactly.
Like, don't let the door hit you on the way out. And you don't need to announce that you're leaving. Right. You know, it's fine.
I'll just read this because it's, like, I think it's super well written and it kind of, in a nutshell, you know. Sotopia is a small women and minority-owned business. Strong women from different paths with shared group of core values make the wheels go around every day here, just like they do throughout our country. We stand in solidarity against misogyny, white supremacy, racism, homophobia, transphobia, anti-LGBTQIA+, yes, harassment and discrimination. That just, that's like
us in a nutshell. It seems like a pretty basic blanket statement.
It does.
But I think in the quilting world, like basic human rights are like really often viewed as like political. And there's just so much division in the country. Yeah. And people don't like to think of quilting as, I don't know,
political.
Political, and it always has been.
But art has always been
a
way of getting your voice out. And so people are surprised when a quilt makes them think or shocks them or clutch their pearls. And it's like, this is how people express themselves. And you're surprised that maybe people are pissed off or angry or sad, and they express that. I remember one of the quilts at QuiltCon was, what was it? It was, and I don't remember who the maker is. This would be something I would need to go back and follow up with. But it was the one, it was like, I am the mother of a child who is dead, or something along that lines. And I remember being on the floor and seeing people be like, oh, well, gosh, that's awful. And it's just like, or, oh, I don't like that quilt. And it's like, but this is how she's expressing their pain. Like, that's probably the worst pain anyone can experience. She's putting it out through her art. And okay, it's making you uncomfortable, but should it be silenced because it makes you uncomfortable? No. That's comfortable with getting uncomfortable.
That's like something I'm really interested in the quilt world, is just the separation of art and blanket making.
And fancy blankets.
Yeah, fancy blankets. And I like the MQG for that reason. I think it attempts to blend those, and people are slowly recognizing and realizing like how to observe and view art in that form. And it's like kind of like soft entry into art.
Yeah. And the thing with modern quilters, the MUG, our whole movement, which obviously isn't new. I mean, there's been people who've been doing modern-esque quilts for years and years. But we're a very small piece of the pie still, you know? And I think sometimes we think we're like, oh, we're a big piece of the pie. And we're like, no, no, we're still really new.
Modern quilting is very, very small.
Like, from a business standpoint too, even, it's like, we're a small piece of the quilting pie. And so sometimes, you know, when people are shocked by our quilts, or it's just, we think we're more well-known than we are, and we're not.
World famous.
Exactly. Yeah, my Instagram feed is all quilters, and I get overwhelmed. I'm like, but yeah, you're right.
But the thing is, and still with like the modern quilters who you're seeing on your Instagram feed, it's still kind of like a small pond.
It is.
And so when it comes to a business standpoint, our footprint isn't very big in the business world. So companies are still a little trepidatious with us, because it's like, oh, well, you guys make those weird quilts, and, you know, and you hear a lot of like generalized statements. Oh yeah, well, modern quilters use solids and that's all they do. And that's, you know, but and it's not like we invented it. We didn't invent this with the Flickr days. These were people who were working on quilts, and
we're just more connected now.
Yeah, we are. We just are more digitized.
Yeah. We're just more connected. You can have a friend across the world now, you know?
So pivoting a little bit, what are some of the proudest moments or achievements you've experienced on this journey so far? You get to gloat a little.
I know, proudest moment.
Bars, is... don't say it. My proudest moment is Amy. No, so Amy, who is, has... you know, slight trust issues and childhood trauma and abandonment issues. I mean, not just throwing it all out there. So when I was like, well, we're friends. And then it was like, yeah, we work together. Sure. And I was like, well, no, we're like best friends. And she's like, I don't have best friends. You're not my best
friend. Okay. Let me preface this really quick. I have serious abandonment issues. Yeah. Okay. So if I label it
and lose it,
then... then I'm like, okay.
Destroyed.
Right. Yeah, destroyed. Why label it?
Yeah, because if you acknowledge it, then it can be taken away.
Yes, exactly.
Right. I need it to be Facebook official.
I know. I know. And so
it's so funny.
Okay, it's so funny that Megan's like, hey, best friends is proudest moment. There's been many proudest moments.
No, lots. Yes,
lots of proudest moments. Like
being able cracking that nut is one of my happiest moments.
Cracking Amy's nut.
Oh my god! Yeah. There's so
I have
much
to embarrass
there,
her a little
like
bit
said.
Because
yeah, because yeah. I don't. It's funny because I'm an only child, but I switch.
As if we didn't know.
I know, but with my abandonment issues, I more am not like, hey, I need attention.
No,
I'm more like give.
Yes,
attention.
You're an only child, but with shitty parents.
Yes, and so
that's on them.
Yes,
that's not on you.
But I think the proudest moments for as far as Sotopia is probably like, yeah.
You haven't gone out of business.
I know.
See, congratulations. Let's get Teddy in here.
Actually,
we yeah, really should. Do you want to get him?
Yeah.
He might be upstairs.
I think a lot of it, too. And I was like, I remember when Amy was starting this, and she was just kind of like, well, I need to be doing all this. And I was like, Amy, if you have a month where you're not using your personal money to pay your shop bills, that's a successful month in a small business world.
Right. I think proudest moments was like, one, having like, what, 18 events under our belt.
And people coming back.
People like keep coming back. Having found Megan in like, you know, and Megan's been through her journey as well. Like, but having her be like, yeah, I want to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. That's like really awesome.
I mean, haven't left by now, I'm probably not going.
Being able to, like, navigate online.
Hey, will you say congratulations?
Congratulations, they lit.
That was excellent performance.
I'm trying to think proudest moments. Being able to, one of the proudest moments, like, really, that, like, I don't sit around and dwell on this, but I should. But when people come to the store and they're like, I'm from Missouri. Mm-hmm. I'm from Texas.
I wanted to stop by.
Da 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 da. We saw you at QuiltCon. Like, I had somebody this week was like, hey, we're from Missouri. Saw you at QuiltCon. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. You know, like having
A destination location.
Yeah, which is like weird to say on a quilt store, but like people are like, yeah, that's mm-hmm. awesome to have like fans in general be mm-hmm. like, oh, you know, proudest moment. Almost like, yeah, I think that's okay, like my husband said this. He's like, Amy, do you think that your store is like somebody's favorite store? I'm like,
hands down.
Yes. I'm like, what? Weird. There's a lot of proud moments. Mm-hmm. Too many to mention, even.
I mean, it's just...
I don't want to sound too braggy.
That's what you're on the podcast for.
I know. Yeah.
No, you deserve to be braggy.
But, like, you support employees financially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. yeah, they're working for you, but you're able to pay them money. Yeah. And that's a really big
thing. It's a big deal. Thing.
Wait, they get paid?
I cannot believe you.
Rose, listen to me. I can explain.
You are making $500,000 and you were only going to pay me 30? You're getting 30 grand? I'm getting 1,000.
But you guys are getting paid?
Oh, yeah.
As the mom would be like, the dad would be like, I'm writing out the checks, honey. Yes. Mom's like, I just spend.
That's pretty fabric. Let's order it.
Yes. Let's get more of it.
I know. Sometimes I have to, we push each other in a good way. Like that's something I think our, another proud moment would be our relationship where we can work together and we can be friends. We vacation with our families together. Mm-hmm. It's like that can all be, I mean, do we disagree sometimes? Sure. You know, but it's not like I'm not going to talk to you forever.
No, we'll disagree and we'll be like, I think the statement is, will we die on that hill? Mm-hmm. And if one of us is like, yeah, I'm going to die on that hill, like, okay. The other person's like, okay, okay. Well.
We do the 1 to 10 scale. What's your 1 to 10 on that? 10 is yes, I'm on it.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to, then I'll fucking join you on the hill.
Fine. Yeah. I'm like a 2, so
you know, I'm like complaining about it a little, but it's fine.
Yeah.
I won't hold grudges, but I'll be mad at you.
I won't hold a grudge against you. I won't dislike you as a person, but I'm still going to be mad about it.
Then that's me. In ESL, I would say, isn't that a grudge?
No, it's still I might.
Isn't that a grudge?
I might
what,
not be
what
mad
What do you guys
later.
Classify as right, a grudge?
Grudge is more of a commitment. I'm not that committed.
Grudge is a long-term commitment.
Yeah. It's
just, okay. Like I'm just temporary madness is like you're resolved to.
Grudge
just
is my last time
getting over it.
Grudge is a persistent feeling of ill will, resulting from a past insult or injury.
Yeah,
I think you're holding a grudge.
It's really
it might
just
go
the
away
intention.
Eventually.
Yeah, I think it's intention.
Yeah,
I feel like if you hold a grudge, you want to.
And here's the reason why: because a grudge is too permanent.
Oh, one
and
that
my
lasts
gym
for
and
a long
I
time.
Can't commit to that. That's why I have
I
no tattoos.
I guarantee that every time
commitment issues, grudges are too much.
Every time cut leather comes in, you're gonna be like.
No, it's dissipating each time. Let's not bring that up.
Okay.
Leave the cow out of it.
So what advice would you give to other women aspiring to start their own business? I think especially in the fabric or creative industries.
Be consistent. This is what I was like thinking about. Be consistent.
Be yourself.
Yeah. Don't worry about ever. Like, I would say never. And this is hard because we're on social media. Because I would sit there in that 500-square-foot office and I'd compare myself to other quilt stores and I'm like, they're getting orders. I'm not getting any. What? I need to show all the pretty bundles. I need to do all the things. And it's like, once I just kind of, and I still do, I can't say I don't compare myself to other stores. Like, where I can't say like, oh, they did that really awesome. You know what I mean? But once I stopped caring so hard about that and just focused on what I was doing.
Yeah, I think there's this like dominance and prevalence of like, I know this is super judgy, but of like vanilla quilters of like, well, I need to have my grid look a certain way and this color theme and, you know, really basic stuff. And
I'm
just
like, look
at
our grid. It's a complete
Instagram grid, right?
Yeah.
Instagram grid.
Instagram grid. And I'm just kind of like, it's like, be a little crazy, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like it's be yourself, because it's the thing is it's hard to, if you create this persona, if you create this very aesthetic grid, then when you want to be yourself, when you want to share something personal, or when you want to try something new, it's people are just like wait, you know. And so it's kind of like if you come out of the gate like how you are and being authentic, I think that goes a long way, because you're establishing yourself and not just a business. And
You're the only one who's making your own deadlines, right? Mm-hmm. You're the only ones that you're making that goal for yourself, right? But you can also be graceful and give yourself a little slack and be like, oh, I don't have to do that. Yeah. I don't have to carry all the fabric. No. I don't have to go into debt like a gazillion dollars.
No, don't buy every collection just because it's coming out. You know, you have FOMO. I guess you have fabric FOMO. Oh, gosh, yeah. I wish we'd gotten
but
that.
I think it's hard to like... It's hard not to compare yourself to other people. And I think the best advice is like to just do what you want to do.
You'll kind of like, get to a point where you will get in the groove and then you're and like, be, this is who I am.
It's hard to be confident in yourself. But that's real hard too. Yeah. Cause you're like your worst enemy. Right. Mm-hmm.
But that's then surround yourself with people who are going to lift you up and not tear you down.
Exactly.
You know, we don't have to be friends with everybody.
Yeah,
you hear that, kids? You don't have to be friends with everybody.
Yeah. And it's okay to cry it out. Ew, in the cry closet.
Gross.
At the store.
No emotion.
Or the bathroom. Or the bathroom at Coco.
It's okay.
Is your back office the cry room, or is it the bathroom?
Hashtag not a crier. I don't like crying. It's not my thing.
Me either.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think as I get older, I get more emotional.
Me too.
But here's the other thing.
Hello, perimenopause.
I know, but here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. And I was like, I always say it's like inside out. Like without sadness, you can't have happiness. Mm-hmm. And so once you feel that sadness, then you're like, oh, there's happiness again. That's the lowest I'm going to go. I was watching a freaking commercial and I was crying.
Yeah. It's like Christmas Folgers commercials where the kid comes home and...
Yes.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite thing about the quilting world?
I don't know. I'm so cynical right now.
I know, after I've done all the negative.
Favorite thing about the quilting world?
That's a good question.
I don't know. I think what I love about this community is making friends. Mm-hmm. And then seeing them evolve.
I don't know. There's something too, like with our events, and I don't know why it's like all of our events are fun, and we've definitely had hiccups at events and even at more recent events. But for some reason, the last two post-pandemic events are different. They're hitting a little bit different.
And QuiltCon. Yeah.
It's like people are just so joyful to see each other. And
Did you guys go to the Arizona QuiltCon?
She did.
Yeah. It's just,
and you went to the Atlanta QuiltCon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally
I've
different
been to like
vibes.
Five. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. I went to Pasadena, and I feel like the last 2 years have been unmatched.
Yeah.
It's just there's.
I'm so excited for this year.
This competition and
it's
like
moving from
it's,
that.
It's going away. It's just we're happy to see each other. Uh-huh. It's like a reunion with friends. Yeah. And it's just so much more different. Chill.
It's less about who's getting first place and more about I get to see the people who do the and same hobby that I do.
What you're wearing and
who,
what
and
bag
who's
you
who
have
and
it's just what do you make?
Yeah,
blah, blah,
blah. And why? And do you have a real ticket to be here?
And are you a
real
maker?
Are you real modern quilter? You're not really a modern quilter. Yeah, it's different. It feels different, which is exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For new quilters
it's
coming
just,
in.
We don't have to fit in a box. It's okay that the line, you know, it's a wavy line. It's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, maybe, I'm maybe. Excited. I think it kind of makes you think maybe we are moving the needle a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Like maybe all of this
what
it means something.
What gets you guys excited about the quilting world?
QuiltCon?
I feel like we've been around, like, I'm going to assume that I've quilted longer than you.
Yeah, I'm coming up on 2 years.
Yeah.
Just a
I'm
baby.
About eight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like
eight,
15
nine-ish.
Years.
Yeah.
You know, and self-taught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's hard to like.
It's interesting to see it move.
It gets cynical. Mm-hmm. Like, it gets a little cynical. But I'm like.
Yeah, because I'm.
But I don't want to be negative about it either, because it's like, it's just, it's weird to see it evolve.
Yeah.
You know, we went from Flickr, Instagram, now TikTok. You know what I mean?
To having to buy all this fabric from these specific people. Mm-hmm. And now it's just kind of like, well, I think I just kind of want to sew with what I like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't need to buy this.
Yeah. Because at the start of when I started quilting, we would buy the whole fat quarter bundles.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But because modern fabric wasn't like so accessible. Mm-hmm. So the modern
and not
person,
discounting what the pioneers of the fabric
I know, but I was
done,
like
but...
modern quilting, modern fabric was Amy Butler, Denise Schmidt.
Mm-hmm.
Cave.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. And now we have more modern designers and more, which is super great, you know? Mm-hmm. But I'm like, what do you get excited about?
Are you asking as like a business owner?
No, yeah. What do you guys get excited about besides QuiltCon and all
the interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think... I don't know. I am inspired a lot by, even though I'm a new quilter, I've been sewing for a really long time, and I was a young mom. I mean, I guess I'm still a young mom.
Mm-hmm.
And just finding your spot in the world is hard for everybody and anybody. And I really clicked with the quilting community. And I think if some random person in the future, like if it's just one person, can find their way into the quilting community and feel welcome and represented in any type of way, and I can help that, then I feel like my mission is accomplished.
Yeah.
I think that that's, I mean, twofold. Like, I think that that's partly what I am excited to see the community change, because even 8 years ago, I didn't feel like I had a place. Mm-hmm. Like, in 2015, I felt like I was stuck between this learning traditional quilts, but I'm not a modern quilter, but I'm not a traditional quilter. Mm-hmm. And where do I fit?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I haven't felt like I really fit until the last, like, year or 2 years.
Interesting.
And so I think seeing that movement a little bit of community is what I'm excited for. And hopefully the new quilters can feel that we really do want you here. Because I didn't feel like that when I started.
Yeah. I think we're about the evolution and watching it versus older generations or previous quilters that are more established, like, want it to remain the same. And I think that's really why our podcast has been successful at all, is because there's a lot of, that happened to me at the cut counter too. Like, they were such assholes.
Yeah. So it's just, seeing it evolve is...
Well,
been super.
And that's with anything. It's like you have to, you look at people who don't evolve with the changing times are going to suffer. Mm-hmm. And so it's, if there's a fluidity with our community, then great, because it will suffer if it doesn't change a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to lose quilters. It's like, you know, this can go onto other aspects of life with like churches. If you don't evolve and accept all people, you're going to lose members.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of like, okay. So yeah, being a little bit not towing that line. I do feel like back in the 2000 teens that there was this very much of like, well, this is what you do. And it's like, well, you know, do what you want.
Exactly.
It's funny, though, because I think
On the flip side, our biggest challenge is like we feel like we can't keep up with the quilt community and the industry more so.
Because you're constantly
you have to be online, looking at what's next.
It's the hustle
gets tiring.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, Amy talks, she kind of hit on that a little bit, but with owning a small business, there's a hustle part of it that really is there of being consistent, posting consistently. And the way algorithms work on social media now, it's like, if you're not posting constantly, then you're going to get lost in the mix. Like I think of, so it's kind of like, if we look at our own personal digital footprint, like as personal people versus business, like it's really tiny compared to like Sotopia, because it's like, we're not hustling ourselves, we're hustling Sotopia. So it's a lot of work. It doesn't have, owning your small business is mirroring it essentially. It is a little bit of a...
Yeah, keeping on the trends, because I'll lose trends fast. Like, oh, she came out with a quilt. Oh, she, like, we should supply the fabric. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, like, and it's always like, I feel like chasing.
Mm-hmm. Instead, like you're not quite there. You're not quite cut. It's like, always okay, one more little thing and then I'll be there.
Yeah.
And then
it changes. Always chasing. Yeah. And I was like, when I talk to designers, I was like, hey, give me a heads up, because fabric sometimes could take 3 weeks to hit the shop, even if I order it today, you know? And so give me a heads up, like, yeah. And they're worried about their stuff too, you know? And they're like, the last thing I need to do is worry about fabric requirements or getting a shop to like kit it or whatever. But then you have your followers that are like, I want to make exactly what you made. Yep. You made it perfect. I don't want to change it at all. Mm-hmm. And if I do change it, I'm going to freak out.
Yeah. What do you mean that fabric's not available anymore? And you swapped it out.
I know.
Oh, I had a question that popped up that we hadn't prepared, and now I forgot it. So,
you want to give them the last question?
Sure. So what's one way that you hope to leave a mark on this industry?
He asked that question in the car. I was like, I don't know.
And I told her, I said, you want to go out in a blaze of glory, just strike a match and let it burn. You're ready to
fire.
Go.
I don't know. That's so funny, because there's like stores that I think that are like the OG stores that I follow forever. Mm-hmm. And I see them going out and my heart breaks.
I think for Amy, a lot of it is she's like, well, when are we going to stop doing events? And I'm like, why do we need to talk about this? And we should go on to a little bit of a just tangent of saying that for us, we do have a little bit of a morbid side because of what's happened with our personal lives with like parents dying. Like she lost her mom. I lost both my parents in the last 2.5 years. It makes us a little morbid, but it's also realistic because... Okay, you do need to think about end
of
stuff.
Mom and dad need retirement.
Yeah, end of stuff. But it's more of just like, okay, well, we don't want to get to this bitter we have to close because we're suffering and, you know, we don't want to limp to the finish line.
You hear shops like in rest in peace, the shops that like fail or the close or whatever. And I don't want to get to that point. Like I don't know if you guys watched True Detective, but there was like this, the first season where he says, Matthew McConaughey says, I didn't know how good I had it until I had it bad. Right? Like you don't know how good you had it until you're like knee deep in shit and not being able to make rent, not being able to buy fabric, da 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 da, you know? So I'm always like, well, I'm always like, plan for the future. Mm-hmm. Like,
but it's a realistic saying of we don't want to get to the point where we're bitter, where we hate what we're doing, that we're barely making it. So the important thing is you need to at least have a realistic expectation of maybe when you're going to retire, when you're going to stop, because you don't want to get to the point where, again, you're just limping along. And so for us, it's kind of like, well, we're doing great right now. Let's keep going. But also keep in mind, well, you know, someday we aren't going to be able to carry sewing machines at events anymore. We're going to be old. And, you know, so it's just we're not there yet, but we still have a realistic.
But I think the same thing with what Ashlyn said is like what I like to do is create that community. We're not a really typical quilt store. Like quilt stores are like, hey, I'm schlepping fabric, period. Okay. We're like running swaps, we're doing events, we're seeing the community. Like where I think we leave our mark is just continue to create that community. There's mm-hmm. been so many friend groups that have come out of Sotopia, mm-hmm. and they're like best friends.
And they were just random people who came to the event. And
yeah.
now they have actually, we call it, they've graduated, so they don't come to Sotopia anymore. They have their own events, like private friend groups.
Yeah, or they still come to Sotopia, and that's their annual get-together, mm-hmm. right?
We have both.
So I do like leaving the mark of, like, hey, we're creating that community, but on top of that, like, furthering your love for the hobby.
So we're matchmakers. We haven't had a marriage yet, though.
That would
be my goal.
Wait, no, that's we have.
What?
The girl met the guy at Sotopia. Okay, I can't remember what Chicago. Went on a date, and then they got married.
What? We had a straight guy culture at our event?
No, they didn't meet at Sotopia.
She was
at a Sotopia, and then she went on a date with him.
I would rather it be two attendees.
That's hard.
I know.
But maybe you just make that like its own structured event.
Yeah.
I'm not going to manifest that one.
I mean, you just did. No. It's on the podcast.
I'm not manifesting it, though.
Next
February. Matchmaker.
No, but I do like the community aspect of Sotopia. Like, I feel like that's mm-hmm. the strong thing that I...
We've created a lot of besties, which is great. And we've met a lot of people who we're good friends with, too. So it's kind of... that's fun. It's like so even if Sotopia closes down someday, we're taking away these relationships that we can, you know, call each other when we're old and be like, you know, or when we're living in our Golden Girls apartment.
Yeah. I fell on the ground. I peed myself. Come over here and help me.
Well,
no, you'll live together. Cause it's,
yeah,
Golden
no,
Girls.
We'll live together.
Have you guys seen that TikTok recently where it's this girl being like, straight women with good, healthy relationships, your husband died tomorrow, would you remarry? And like every single stitch is like, no, I'm going Golden Girls era.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. My husband and I have this conversation a lot, actually, where he's like, well, something happened, you would get remarried. And I was like,
I'm on my second, so I definitely won't do it again.
Well, and I said to my husband that he would leverage my funeral to get a next wife.
Because she thinks she's going first. But I'm like, well, you know, I think you're being a little morbid there. You guys are going to live to a ripe old age and live forever.
Yeah, but then, you know, when I do die first. Yeah.
I'm going to go first.
And then Megan will be like, God, dang it. She
I know. That. Oh, yeah. No, she's like, yeah, when I die first, then I'm going to be laughing at you because you were wrong. And I was like, Amy, I'll be dead already. Again, this morbid side. It's just, it comes with loss.
We have awful humor.
our grief comes out in really morbid but funny ways.
Yeah, like employees will be like, your mom, and I'm like, my mom's dead. Mm-hmm. And then they're really like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's a common one. And we say to each other,
go to the cry room.
Yeah, she'll be like, well, your mom's a hoe. And I'll be like, my mom's dead. And she's like, mine is too. And you know, it's sort of weird.
Okay, so before we end, I just like wanted to note, I feel like you guys are really committed to welcoming in new quilters and sewists. Yeah. You guys promote all kinds of sewing at your shop. Mm-hmm. I think what really sets you apart is kind of, I'll combine what we've talked about in this interview, is just the difference between older generations owning a quilt shop and this newer generation of business owners, I think, is not that the older ones were afraid of revolutionizing this mm-hmm. art form craft, but you guys are welcoming it and pushing it forward actively mm-hmm. and just empowering people to do that work versus wanting to hold on to that control and the reins and be a part of it. And mm-hmm. you're a part of it by allowing yourselves to not have to be a part of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you're okay to sit back and watch mm-hmm. it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Versus
we're refusing to age and change.
I mean, we're
aging, obviously.
We're not micromanaging like our parents did. No,
but
it's just, yeah, you got to roll with the punches. You have to evolve. And that's, I just, you know, we all have kids and just seeing how the younger generations are, and I don't know. It's a changing world. That's for sure. I mean, think of how Amy and I grew up. You know, we're that little generation of where we didn't have anything digital. Like we didn't have email. The TV was like, uh-huh. and the phone. I don't know. It's just, it's crazy how much things have changed in just a few years. So the fact that we can order fabric and get it 2 days later. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Right.
But we're also stuck in this industry where...
we have to see it in person.
But it's not even that. It's more of just, you think of like, yes, Sewtopia is digital now and you can order stuff online. But the other thing is that the fabric industry is still antiquated in a way because someone still has to take it off the shelf, cut it, and send it to you. So there's no revolutionizing and modernizing how you're doing that.
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting kind of way to do it. And so, you know, you think of like, it's kind of like when fabric.com decided to close and Amazon owned it. It was part of it is because think of all the labor and how intensive it was to send all that fabric out. It's a lot of work. You can't have a machine do it. AI can't do that for you. Chat GPT can't write that description. You still have to take a bolt down. You still have to cut it. So there's, we're both old school and new school all wrapped into one.
Yeah. I think that's the hardest part is like, I think when shops are just kind of like, they put their blinders on and they're like, not like just, oh, what's the trends or like, what's, you know, like.
Well, I think we've always got the mindset too. Like, okay, we see this as trending. We see that corduroy is coming out real big. Let's make some corduroy kits or, oh, this is, you know, canvas and all this stuff. But we also are like, what can we bring in that's cool and new and, you know, weird.
Sasquatch.
Alien fabric. One of my favorite prints was dinosaur bones, you know. That one was so cute. I missed that one.
Yeah.
Well, we're excited. I'll probably stop there on my way home. Not gonna lie.
Gotta go get one of those bundles
that I
have real soon.
Let our listeners know where they can find you online.
Oh, you can find us at Sewtopia, Sewtopia.
.com
mm-hmm. or on Insta, Sewtopia. I think it's Go Sewtopia on Facebook for those folks that are transitioning to Facebook. We're on TikTok. We're on TikTok. Awesome. Somebody came in like just the other day, was like, I saw you on TikTok, and I was like, what? You did?
We are
and I was like,
we are heavy TikTok users and occasional posters, I guess you could say.
I can't figure out what would be fun to post. But anytime I do figure out something fun to post, I post it on Instagram.
Do you want to know my problem with TikTok? I'm just not brave enough for like trolls. I'm too sensitive.
Apparently they're nicer.
Okay.
Yeah, they're nicer on TikTok.
They're nicer on TikTok.
You need to post your water video.
And they love craters.
I sent her...
Marco?
The funniest Marco Polo of my life yesterday. And I was just being a pretend influencer and like pretending to discover drinking water.
She did like the tapping on the cup.
And, like ASMR. Yeah,
and the best part was it was a hospital cup. It was like the hospital.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
All right. Thank you guys so much for interviewing and sitting with us. Is there anything else you want to...
Sorry for all the editing.
That's what my brother gets paid to do.
You guys are getting paid?
You should just have, like, a bloopers.
We are always going to be a heavily edited podcast. It's just how we are.
Yeah, do a bloopers reel. Where they that we
yeah Nick bloopers I've asked him like the last couple weeks.
You need bloopers like, real please.
Oh my god.
All right.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Dude, that was so fun.
I know. I think we need to have regular Sewtopia interview.
I know. Amy, do you want to come back? just want to come hang out.
Everybody in town.
Just come hang out. Come sit in my basement and chill out with us. Yeah. I really enjoyed hearing about their values, their stance on life, making a mark on the community.
Yeah.
Just
while also like enjoying being part of it.
Yeah.
So I love that. Just uplifting and positive, cool people.
Yep.
I love quilting so much, you guys. It's so special.
So special.
All right. That is our episode. We didn't talk about merch at the beginning of the episode, but go buy some.
Yep. Merch. That's where you'll find us, thegratefulthreadpodcast.com. You can find me, Lacey Messerly, at messyquilts on Instagram and messyquilts.com.
And me, Ashlyn Downs, at Urban Dwell Studio, on the line.
And instantaneously put it out there on the line, and they share it with their friends.
And on the Instagram. And our guests, Megan and Amy, are at Sewtopia on Instagram and sewtopia.com for for your online shopping. The Grateful Dead podcast is created, hosted, and produced by Ashlyn Downs and Lacey Messerly. Our sound engineer is Nicholas Downs. What's the rest of that? Oh. And remember, don't forget to leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts. We need them like we need oxygen, folks.
Bye,
Threadheads. So what's one way that you hope to leave a mark on this industry?
How is Sotobi going to leave a shit stain on this
community? Just butt sliding, scooting.
Just a dog dragging itself across the carpet. I want Grateful Thread, not Grateful Dead.